It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And I know, as Trent said, we've got a lot of activities going on in different families, people coming in and out, some visiting with you today. And we hope that everybody's travels is safe and you have a wonderful time with your family. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me, let's go to the book of Psalms. And I want to deal this morning with an issue from the book of Psalms, and just in general. There's a lot of times I preach on different subjects, and whether it's salvation or if it's dealing with specific problems or issues. But this morning, as I said to the first service, and it just seemed like they got it, I hope you do the same. I want to talk about this understanding of putting limits, limiting yourself and limiting God. Of all the things I see, that's the thing that I see the biggest struggle in. When I moved here 20 years ago, nearly, come September it'll be 20 years, this was the biggest issue facing all seasons at that time. It was the biggest issue facing the community at that time. It was the mindset of as it was told to me, or how you would relate it and use it as a phrase, it was a poverty mentality. It's a poverty mentality. And what it is just the fact that this is the way it's always been. This is the way, you know, life has always been. And we're just going to do another generation, and I'll live by mom, and we'll stay here, and we'll go through another generation of just the same old, same old. And when things would go bad, it was kind of like, well, that's just what happens. I remember when Sara Lee closed, and some of you don't remember that. That's almost 20 years ago. And it was just like, well, here we go. And then this would take place, and that would take place. But it was a mentality that, you know what, we just got limits. We're limited in what we can do. We're limited in how far we can go. We're limited in our lives. And it rubs into people's families, it rubs into jobs, it rubs into everything about who we are. One of the key things that we've been able to break over this past several years has been that one mindset. Now, I can't say we've done that throughout all of Scott County, and we've done that through Smith County and everywhere, but it's nice to be a light on a hill. It's nice to be a light that people look at or drive by and they think, how did they do that? How did they build that? Or how did they stick out like a sore thumb when everybody else is pretty much cookie cutter along, and then all of a sudden, bam. And it's not so much what we done, it's just the fact that we did it. We did something. And changing families' mindsets and changing people's mindsets and watching my kids grow up in our youth group and all of a sudden believe, you know what? We can do anything. We can go to college, or we can accomplish things with our lives. That's one of the greatest joys that I get to see. Watching families that achieve and go beyond, that move out of one area where they've lived and their families lived, and all of a sudden purchase a house or finally buy their own land. It's an incredible thing to watch limits come off of you. And it's one of still the saddest things that I deal with in my life when I see limits still on people. Watching limits on people is one of the most depressing, and it's one of the most discouraging things that you'll see. God hates it. Look at the person beside you and say, God hates it. It disturbs God to have limits, because He's a limitless God. He's the God of the impossible. And when we start to say, well, we can't do this, and you can't go there, and you can't accomplish this, that bothers God. In fact, it does more than just bother God. Go with me in your Bibles to Psalm 78, verse 40 through 42. And let me show you a little bit of insight into how this thing works with God. I hear this phrase all the time, well, God does whatever God wants to do. And, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's a poverty mentality. That's a mentality that just takes all the, well, I'm not responsible. And you know what? It's just how it worked out. It's just the way the cards fail. It's the way the chips fail. And before long, you get to living that way. But here's what the Bible says. I'm going to show you in several places as we go along today, but I want to hopefully change this mindset in you. Today, I'm not just preaching a message that will just hopefully help you. I'm hoping that you will jump today. I'm hoping your life will jump today. And you'll grasp something that maybe has been hard to get a hold of for a long time. In the book of Psalms 78, verses 40 through 42. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and did what? And limited the Holy One of Israel. When somebody looks at you and says, well, God, you know, everything, God, nothing can stop God. They're lying to you. When they say, you know what, God can do whatever He wants to, they're lying to you. This is not the system in which God set up on the world. Now, don't get me wrong. When we're talking about the ultimate world itself, when we're talking about the whole of society, God's already planned that. We can't change Revelations. The book of Revelations is what it is. The world's going to end, and you can pray that countries will get along, and you can pray that one day we'll all have peace signs in Russia and everywhere else, and we'll all sing Kumbaya. I hate to break it to you. God's done planned that one out, and it's not going to happen that way. In fact, when you read about the bear and you read about all the things in Revelations, you find out that all that we're doing is fulfilling what God had said will happen. He understood and saw from the end how it was going to work. And He said, guys, I'm not going to change this part. This part cannot change. The world is going in its own corruption, in its own lust, and its own desire. It will bring an end to itself. I'm just showing you how it's going to happen. So if you don't believe in God, just keep up with Revelations and watch Israel and watch all the countries surrounding. Watch Russia, watch China, and then go back to your Bible and realize, and your mouth will fly open and you will realize God saw this from the beginning. Writers wrote this 2,000 years ago when some of these countries were not even in existence. And God says, I already saw that. We're not talking about that part. But what we're talking about is the day-to-day life that you live. We're talking about the things that you say I have need of, or the things that you have desires and wants. Those things, if we're not careful in our lives, we limit God and we limit ourselves. The only result of that is a discouragement that takes place. Notice, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from their enemy. The psalmist writing about this is talking about a specific story. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. And in Numbers, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 4, I want to kind of reiterate this to us. This is the story. The psalmist is writing about the story that took place among the 12 spies that went into Canaan. And the evil report that they brought back, for those that don't remember the story, haven't heard the story, here's basically the deal. God promised Israel, you're going to go into this land and it's yours. I'm going to defeat whatever enemy. Nobody's going to stand in front of you. And to show them how powerful He was and to show them that He was merciful and He loved them, He kept doing one miracle after the other to show them, whether it was parting the Red Sea and they walked on dry land, whether it was defeating Pharaoh and all of his armies and making the strongest country in the world look like just nothing. And in fact, 10 plagues, He was begging them, get out of our town. And yet here they go through wilderness and God sends birds from the sky. He feeds them with manna every day, a cloud, a pillar of fire. Everything is given to them to show them that I am God and I am with you and I am going to bring you into this land. Just trust me and depend on me. And then they get to the border. They get right to the Jordan River. They're fixing to cross over into their land. And Moses sends 12 spies over to check it out, just to see how it's laid out and the way the land is. And we know that 10 of them brought back an evil report. They came back and this is what they said. They said, we can't win this battle. We can't defeat these armies. Some of them are giants. They have walled cities. Their armies are... We don't even have an army. These guys are military people, the Amalekites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and you got the Philistines. You got incredible army type people that we can't defeat them. In fact, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. If they saw us coming to go fight them, they would laugh at us. And when they brought this evil report, notice what happened. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that to God that we had died in this wilderness. It'd have been better if we'd have just died there. It would have been better if we'd have just died somewhere. But look where we're at now. Look at our lives. Look how far you've brought us and where you've put us. We are all in trouble now." They look at Moses and they look at Aaron and they say, "What have you done? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword?" And this is the way they see life, that our wives and our children should be prey. In other words, they're going to kill us, take our wives and children, and that'll be the end of it. "Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt." Life can be this way. And the psalmist is saying this had nothing to do with God. They limited God. They put the handcuffs on God and said, "God, we don't believe you can. We're not trusting you that you will." And they limited God. I know that just sounds so hard when you say it. Because in our teaching so many times, we don't even align that way. And our mindset of things just happen. Whatever's going to happen, happens. And our mindset of you know what, must have been God's will. It must have been God's will. Why? Because it happened that way, so it must have been. I think too many times we miss out on great miracles and great opportunities simply because we have a mindset that puts us there. Let me show you what causes. Can I do that? Go with me and let's look, and I want you to see in what way we limit. How do we get in the process of limiting God? Because you're at church today, and for a lot of people, you've done good. You made it to church. You ought to be proud of yourself. But it's useless if you go home today and the enemy wears you out by limiting your life. He robs you of kids, and he robs you of health, and he robs you of any type of joy, and he robs you. Church just becomes another drudgery in your life. It's like going to work. So how does it happen in our life? How do we start to put bounds on ourselves and on God? Here's number one. In the extent and the freeness of His mercy. The first area in which we begin this process of limiting God, limiting ourselves, is simply this. We start to doubt the mercies of God. We start to doubt how merciful and gracious He is. This was Israel's problem even when Jesus came. The Pharisees' biggest problem had nothing to do with their church, had nothing to do with their religion. You know what their biggest problem was? Their biggest problem was dealing and understanding the mercies of God. That was their problem. They were so wrapped up in you got to do this and you don't do this, they had forgotten mercy. In fact, Jesus told them once, He said, "You should have done this, but not to have neglected the other, not to have left out mercy and love and kindness." Why? Because when Jesus came, that's what ticked them off. When Matthew is called to be from the tax collector's table, and Matthew says, "I want to throw a party for you tonight." Well, guess what? The only friends Matthew's got is publicans and tax collectors. He doesn't hang out with a good crowd. So he invites all his friends over. What do the Pharisees do? The Bible says they stood from without and criticized and said, "I can't believe he's eating with sinners." Their whole debate with God, their whole argument with God, was that He was doing good things. I mean, think about it. They took a woman one time that was caught in adultery, threw her at His feet, and said, "The law says we're supposed to stone her. What do you say?" And He shows love, mercy, and kindness. He isn't neglecting the law. He knows what the law says, but He just simply says this. Well, whichever one of you that's perfect, you know, anybody perfect, just go ahead and throw that stone. Go ahead and get it started. The Bible says they each dropped their stone from the biggest to the littlest and walked away. He looked at the lady and he says, where are your condemners? Where are your... She said, I have none. He said, go and sin no more. He shows mercy. A lady at the well, been married 5 times, is living with somebody who... He meets her there, and as he spends time with her, she realizes, this is who I've been waiting for. Time after time. In fact, when he tells the story of the prodigal son, he doesn't leave them out. In fact, here's how he tells the prodigal son story. He says, there were 2 sons. One of them, not a problem. We understand him really well. He wanted his stuff. He wanted to go to partying. He wanted to go have a fun time. He wanted to drink and hang out with his buddies and wanted to do all his stuff. And he did until all the money ran out and everything went bad and it went south. And we all understand that story. That's what we preach. We preach it as the prodigal son. Jesus told the story of 2 sons, not the prodigal son. We call it the prodigal son. He said there were 2 sons. One of them we call a prodigal. We understand him. But he said there was another one. He said, did you notice him? He said, when the brother came back and was all beaten up and he come walking in the church one Sunday and he's like, well, I done spent all my money. They fixed to kick me out. I'm overdue on my rent, my electric bill. I'm telling you, everything's gone wrong. And now the preacher walked up and hugged his neck. And the preacher said, son, it's so good to see you. Man, I've missed seeing you. Here, it's so good to have you back. But you know, there were some church members, brothers, sisters, who looked at him and said, I cannot believe he had the courage to walk back in this door. After all he's done. There were brothers that said, I can't believe you put a ring on his finger. I can't believe you killed a fatted calf. I can't believe you treated him that way. After all he's done. And Jesus said, you know the problem? He had a brother who had no mercy. He had a brother who had no true kindness. The first thing you need to understand about God is simply this, is that we forget the mercies of God. And we limit God's ability to love. Think about it. They got ticked off with God through Christ for one reason. He went about doing. In fact, Pilate checked him out and said, I can find no fault in the man. Why? Because he went about doing. They hated him because he was merciful. They hated him because of his mercy. And if we're not careful, we become the same way. We start to say, God's not going to put up with that. When I was growing up, that's a lot of the preaching I heard. And I didn't hear a lot about the mercy of God or the kindness or the forgiveness. I just knew this God that you just don't want to. And I understand all of that's in there. I don't have to read far to long to find Ananias and Sapphira. I don't have to read very far to read about the Old Testament people that he wipes out and does this because they won't come into a line with him. I understand all of that. But I want to tell you, mixed through all of that is the mercy and the love and the kindness, because those that will humble himself and those that will come humbled and come broken, he is somebody who shows himself broken. He's somebody who shows himself caring. He's somebody who doesn't cast you out. And the first thing I need to remind myself about God is that he is ever merciful. He is all loving. He is ever kind. And he's looking for somebody who will humble themselves and come unto him so that he can put a robe back on them. He can put a ring back on them. He can carry them back into the house. He can cook them a dinner. He can treat them with kindness. If we're not careful, the first thing we miss about God is simply the freeness of his mercy. Look at the person beside you and just tell them, he loves you. Now, if we can get that in our mind, and if we don't deal with that correctly, it moves us to number two. Number two is simply this. The penitent sinner often does this as the ability to the willingness of God to save. See, if I don't believe and if I don't come to grips with God's mercy and His love, then here's the problem. I have a hard time dealing with my guilt. If I really don't believe He cares about me, then I have a hard time dealing with my life. Now, I may cover it up with dress. I may cover it up when I come to church. I may cover it up when I listen to gospel music. I may cover it up with all types of things. But a lot of what I'm doing is just trying to please a God that I'm not sure is pleased with me. Let me show it to you in the Bible. Go with me to Mark 9 and 22. Jesus is going about doing what? Say it loud. He's doing good. That's all He's doing. He runs into somebody who needs Him to do. And this father who has a son who has a spirit upon him, we would maybe qualify it as some type of epileptic fits or whatever. Jesus calls it an evil spirit that comes upon him. And He says when this spirit comes upon him at times, he throws himself in the fire. He casts himself in water trying to drown himself. He said, the father is saying, I'm just at my wit's end. I don't know what else to do. And he comes to the Jesus who does what? Who cares and is doing good. And you would think that he would say, man, I'm so glad I finally got a hold of you. I knew if I could ever get to you, you would heal my son. But notice the problem. When we're dealing with penance, if we're not sure God is merciful and God is good and God cares about us, here's our problem. What happens to us is we have a hard time coming to grips with our life. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, I love that phrase. I hear people pray it a lot of time. Lord, if you could do anything, just help me here. Here's a father who has got a son. He comes to Jesus, but really in his heart, he's not sure Jesus even likes him or even really cares. If you can do anything, if you can do anything, what does he say? Have compassion on us. Well, do you think Jesus already had compassion? Yeah. You think Jesus already cared? Yeah. But the problem is, if we don't settle the fact that God is merciful and He loves you, then in the beating yourself up, the next phase of your life is simply this. You're going to have a hard time believing God wants to help you. You'll have a hard time believing God is actually going to move heaven to meet your needs. This father is struggling with it. I'll show you another. Go to Matthew 8 and 2. I'll show you another situation. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, if you will, Lord, if you will, I know you can do what? And this becomes our prayer life. So much of our prayer in churches is prayers like this right here. It's prayer. Lord, I know you can heal. In fact, you'll ask people, do you believe God can heal you? Yes, I believe God can heal anything. I believe God can do anything. Well, do you believe right now, if we hold hands that we pray about this, you believe God will do it right now? Well, I don't know what He will do. Well, He's done said to touching anything and agreeing, it might get done. No, the Scripture says to touching anything and agreeing, it is already done. I'm sick in body. Well, do you believe if we pray for your body, you believe God will heal you? Well, I believe God can, but I'm not sure He wants me to be healed. Well, then why did He put in the Scriptures, if there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church, and the elders of the church will pray for you, and you might get healed. Know that word's not might again? What does it say? You shall. See, I'm messing with your theology, aren't I? Because sometimes our theology doesn't line up with the Bible. And either we have to change the Bible or we got to change our theology. Or we revert back to what I said to begin with, limits. Well, you know, you can't, God does whatever God wants to do. Who told you that? Where in the Bible does it say that? It doesn't. He says His promises are yea and nay. And He's not a man that He should lie. So if you can find it and He wrote it, you can stand on it. Now, it may be hard, may be difficult, might mess with your beliefs, but if it's in there, you can stand on it. And heaven will have to move if you don't. Because then you are not putting the limits on God. Here's what's happening. The leper is trying desperately to believe that God... If you ask the leper, do you believe God can heal you? I know He can. Thou canst make me clean. I know that. But the question becomes, will you? Lord, if you just had a heart to. I know. If you just wanted to, God, you could do it. So many of our prayer lives and our relationships is built this way. If we don't fix it, we move to number three. Number three becomes this. The believer, now I'm a believer now. I believe God saved me. I'm just struggling with this Bible thing. I'm struggling with this trusting thing. I'm struggling with this Him actually coming through thing. So when the believer finds himself and falls into trouble, as we often do from time to time, now this is confining God to a certain mode of deliverance. What happens now is, once we decide to go this route, now we start to confine God to certain ways, and we start to limit what He can do. Let me show it to you this way. David does this with his child. David prays and fasts for a sick child. God says, you know what, David? The child is going to die. David fasts and prays and said, maybe God will change His mind. Maybe God... Because what is David saying? I want deliverance. I know God can give me deliverance, but I want it which way? I want it my way. Jacob does this early in Genesis. We find that Jacob comes to God and says, if you'll bless me, then you know what? I'll return back to this same place and I'll pay you tithes. If you'll bless me, then I'll come back and I'll... He's trying to cut deals with God. And here's what happens is, we start to try to figure out the way God must solve things and must come through with things and must do things. I had that happen to me this morning because as I was coming to church, my battery is played out. And so I have a jumper cables in there. I even have a little plug-in amp thing that I can park my truck close enough with an extension cord and charge it back up where it'll crank. I just haven't gone back and got a battery. And this morning I was headed to the church doing nothing wrong. I was headed to church dressed ready to go. At 6 o'clock I was coming this way, stopped by Northside and said, I got to get some gas. And usually what I can do is I can turn it off if I turn the air conditioner off, the radio off, and the lights off. If everything's off and I turn it off, it'll hold charge long enough for me to be able to get gas, do that kind of stuff, and crank it back up. I know y'all don't live like this. This is the way I live. I'm blessed and highly flavored. So I did everything I was supposed to. Turned this off, did this, got my gas, got out, pumped the gas. I didn't go inside. I had the car. I did that, get everything right, got back in it. Whoa. I'm like, God, all I'm trying to do is go to church. I lay hands on it. God, I can see this right now. This is going to be a great testimony at church. I pray for it. I said, God, it's going to crank. I get out. I'm thinking, I'm too far away. I'm stuck at the pump. I got no extension cord to go plug in. I walk in, and one of the ladies from the church, her husband's there. And I get to talking to him and two other guys there. And I said, guys, I need some help. He pulled his truck around. We started charging it, but he wouldn't charge it fast enough. So I'm standing inside. I just go ahead and get me something to drink and get a candy bar. And I'm sitting there eating breakfast, talking with these guys. You know what? It wasn't my plan, but it was God's plan. Because I would have gone ahead and got gas and run on out and got on to church to do my church part, and I would have missed three people plus the two people in the store that morning to get a chance to say hello to them and to talk to them about God. And just that 5 or 10 minutes that got to do that. You know what? It wasn't my plan, but it was God's plan. And I'm going to tell you where people start to have a problem. If you really don't believe God cares about you, and you really don't believe He's forgiven you, and you really don't believe you and Him are in good relationship, you don't really believe you can ask and receive, then here's what's happening. You start to try to plan how it's going to work out. And you know what happens when it doesn't work out the way you want it to? When God didn't fix the job the way you thought He should have, and God didn't take care of the kids the way you thought it should have, and He didn't heal them the way you thought it should have, you start to have a problem with a God that you're disconnected with. And one of the main keys in life is to be able to allow God to be God. Allow Him to do things outside of the way you can see it and the way you understand it, and to trust that He cares and to trust that He's working. If you don't, what you're doing is you're limiting God. You start to put all these limits and you start to look for other ways to take care of yourself because God might not come through. You know, it's like rolling dice. You know, you can pray and one time you get healed and next time you might not. It's like rolling dice. One time He might come through and do something, but really what we're saying is He's coming through our way. We can see it, and then sometimes we can't see it. But the thought that God answered every single prayer that you've ever prayed, it just might not have been your way, that bothers us. I believe God answered every prayer I've ever prayed in my life. Anything I've ever asked, He's answered. Sometimes I just don't see it the way I'd like to see it. Number four. If we reach this point, then we often do this in contradicting our prayer. Remember what I said a while ago? If we reach a point in our lives to where we start doubting, if we're not sure of His mercies, we're not sure He really cares, we start asking Him like these people do, Lord, if You will, I wish You would help me. Lord, if You feel like it, I wish You'd come through. I'm going to tell you what eventually it affects. It affects your prayers. It affects your prayers. When I go into a hospital, if I went into your hospital room and let's say the doctor diagnosed you with cancer and I walked in, And I said, Beth, let's pray. Lord, I don't know what You got planned. I don't know what You're up to. But if you just reach down in this room right now, if you just show up, if you just do something, oh, we'd be so thankful. Some of you heard prayers like this.
That's right.
You've had these prayers prayed over you like this. They're good prayers. The person cares about you. But the problem is there's no confidence in the God that they're praying to. But if I walk into a hospital room and I say, Beth, how you doing? You tell me how you doing. We start talking. What do you need? I need this. This is what the doctor says I'm in, and this is what we need done, and he's got another test to run. Let's pray. Beth, I'm going to start praying, but now here's the thing. I'm going to lay my hands on you. And when I lay my hand on your head, here's what he says. Lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. So I'm declaring right now, even before I pray, as the Apostle Peter said, I'm going to thank God even before I ever pray this prayer. And I begin to pray, Father, Beth needs a miracle in her body. And You have declared in Your Word that if we lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. You have said, to touching anything and agreeing upon it, that it's done. You have said, Father, we are a conqueror, more than conquerors through Christ that strengthens us. You've said in the Old Testament that the blessings of Abraham is upon us. And part of Abraham's blessing is that we would have health, that we would have ability to go through. That was part of his blessing. So I declare the blessings of Abraham upon us right now. And as I lay my hand on Beth right now, I speak that in the name of Jesus, by the power of His name, a name of above all names, a name that cannot be defeated. I declare that she right now is receiving health into her body, and her body is aligning with your word, and that she is receiving healing right now. Which prayer would you want? They're both prayers. I care about one just as much as I did the other. The only difference is, one, I invoke God. Not the God that I hope helps, but the God that promised to help. And if you're not careful, the final phase of your life is this. Your prayer life just becomes hoping, wishing that God might help you. And if you're not sure, it's why so many people can come to church on a Sunday, pray about things, but before they ever get situated at home today, they'll already start trying to fix it themselves again. One of the most amazing things I see today that is the most disturbing is this. We'll ask people, give it to God. Leave it at an altar. And I watch so many people come and cry, pray. Boy, I sure hope God comes through and take it right back home with them. Guys, sooner or later, you got to take the limits off the God that you serve. Either He's a God who He says He is, or we're just making a wish list and we just hope somebody gets picked out of the bucket. The God that I serve, I do not serve Him that way. I do not trust Him that way. Let me show you the results if you choose and you don't deal with this putting limits on your life. If you don't deal with it, here's what's going to happen. Number one is simply this. You'll bring the Creator down to be more like the creature. That's why now all this philosophy comes out. Well, there's a lot of ways to God. That's why this philosophy, you know, he's like an old man in the sky. He's our heavenly Father. I want to tell you something. He is my Father, and I get to call Him Abba and all this. But I want to tell you what I never do. I never bring God down to my way of thinking and my way of reasoning and my way of anything. God is above everything in thought, in ability, in every way. He is God Almighty. There is none compared to Him. There is none that can compete with Him. There is no problem, no situation, no sickness, no circumstances that my God cannot handle. There is not an enemy that He can't defeat. I have reached the conclusion that there's nobody like my God. I've determined it. Listen, you've got to put Him up there where He can't fail, or you bring Him down to where we are and He fails all the time. The second thing is simply this. It is disbelieving then in His own word. Because once you bring Him down to where we are, now you're not sure if the Bible is even true. Go with me in your Bible to Ephesians 3 and 20. Let me show you something. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto Him that is able to do what? Exceedingly above all that we ask or even what? Think. Say it. It ain't gonna hurt you. Some of y'all need to repeat this. Some of y'all just stand there like you just... Y'all need to repeat this. This is in the Bible. This is why you came. We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly above anything you can ask or think. I like that kind of God. That's my kind of God. I don't want a God that can only do what I think. I don't want Him to do anything that even remotely is my level of education. I want Him to be a God above it. Listen. According to the power that worketh. So when somebody looks at you and says, well, now God can do anything. He can only do it according to the power that's inside of. God can do exceedingly abundantly above anything. As long as it equals the power that is within. Well, what power is that? That's His Word. Whatever you can't hold on to in His Word, He can't bring it to fruition here. Whatever you say, I don't know if that's true. God says, I don't know if I'm doing it. It's always equal. If you look at somebody and say, God's going to solve this, then God says, I'm going to solve this. His power is always equal. The lady with the issue of blood said, if I touch the hem of His garment, I might be made whole. She said, no, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, and when I touch it, I shall be made whole. And guess what? She got kind of a little bit of a touch. No, the blood dried up immediately. She was healed. The leper said, if you will, I know if you want to heal me, you can do it. Jesus said, I will. Touched him, and guess what? You're going to have to settle the fact that when he says something, you can't contradict it with some other philosophy. His word either stands or it falls. The world says everything they can to destroy it. It was written by men. It's just, yeah, I agree. It was written by men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, who were called by God. And every word that they wrote, every point that they put in, every I they dotted was ordained by God. Not one word, not one tittle, not one cross T came out of place. I don't believe one comma's out of place. I believe every single bit of it is designed the way it needs to be. And when God said it, God meant it. Oh, if y'all knew that, think of the things that you could do in your life if you believed what was in that book. Just think about the things you could do if you believed what was in that book. Go with me to Matthew 19 and 26. Let me show it to you here. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is, but with God all things are possible. He's referring to the rich young ruler who was trying to figure out salvation. And God says, Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to be saved. And they thought, that's sad. Nobody will get saved. And he says, hold on. You're thinking of it through man's eyes. With God, there's not one thing in this world that's impossible. Your healing is possible. Your deliverance from addiction is possible. Your family being put together is possible. You having the life you've always dreamed that God gave you is possible. Here's why. Because God is not like anything else or anybody else. His word is what he covers and what he holds on to. Number three is this. It becomes then is ungrateful reflection upon his past mercies. See, when you start thinking that way, what you're forgetting is how many miracles it took to get you here today. In my life, I can count at least three times I should have drowned it. My mom dreamed when I was 10 years old that the enemy would kill me. She had a vision, fasted 3 days, that I would be run over by a car. Dreamed the whole thing. Everything happened exactly like she dreamed. The only difference is because of her fasting and her praying, I didn't fall in the road. I fell in a culvert and I had 70 stitches in my leg instead of in my head. He's tried every time and every way possible to take me out. And God says, Tim, here's the thing. He's not that strong. If you don't let him be that strong, he's not that strong. So in my life, not only do I take the word of God, but I become thankful for everything that I've been through. See, the children of Israel's problem was, here's the way they saw it. God brought us through Egypt. God brought us through the desert. God brought us through all this. Well, why did he do it? Well, surely to kill us. That was their reasoning. Surely God brought us all this way for us to die and our wives and kids to be captured. Now that don't even sound logical. But I want to tell you something. When you stop believing in His Word, when you stop believing who He is, when you start going down that slide of putting limits on God, before long you see yourself like grasshoppers. Before long you see yourself as a punching bag to the devil. Before long you see yourself being defeated all the time. It's always the devil's on me and the devil's after me. And man, everything bad that could happen. Look at my life this morning. I could have come to church just all grumbly, all upset because my battery didn't work and this and that. But you know what? I knew that God had a perfect plan and a perfect will. And everything was working right on schedule. Everything was right designed. How would you like to live your life knowing that every mercy God showed so far is just leading you to the next mercy? That everything He's brought you through, every miracle He's ever given you, everything He gave you from the time you didn't die in the womb to the time you didn't die as a baby, your mama used to say, you don't know the fever you used to have. We thought we were going to lose you. But you know what? You just broke that fever and you came through. Can I tell you something? God showed mercy. God had did miracles in your life time after time. time after time. Somebody who's come through life needs to celebrate sometimes. You need to stand on your feet even if nobody else understands why. And say, you know what? The enemy tried to drown me when I was 5 years old, but he couldn't drown me. You know what? He tried to run me over when I was 10 years old, but he couldn't run me over. My life is one miracle after another. And he didn't bring me to 2014 to now get me this far and say, now I'm going to kill him. No, he brought me this far to say, Tim, we're just getting good and started. Number four, we ultimately, finally, limit our mercies and enjoyments. Let me see if I can show it to you in illustration. Is that okay? I'll let you go. Man, you can get out here before 12 o'clock. Look at the person beside you and say, he's on it today. Let me get some of these young people. These three right here. There you go. Come up here. I'll give them a hand. I'm going to show it real simply. Maybe this will make sense. Be a whole lot easier to understand. Have that pole. Have that pole. All right. Get in right between them. The guys, I want you to hold the pole. Put your foot. There you go. Now I want you to pull those poles together. Grab right here. See if you can pull. Don't let her pull. Now you gotta hold that thing. Put your foot down there. Hold it. Guys, that strong as y'all are? I gotta have some bigger guys. Let me hold this. Try that.
Don't let me fall.
You know you guys were waiting that. All right. Don't let her pull that thing apart now. All right, see if she can do it. Don't let her do it. There you go. Lean into it. Don't let her pull that. Don't let her. See, if they don't want her to, she can't do it. They can hold those poles and she can't. They put their weight against it and they can. But you think I can help her out? Yeah, y'all seen me do enough illustration, haven't you? And it's like, you want to say, no. If I just said, here, take this rope and see if you can help figure it out.
Wait, what?
That's right. It's like reading the Bible. It's like, wait, what? Do what? Forgive who? Pay what? And in our lives, we end up doing that. I'm going to show you how you can pull those poles together. You guys think I can make that happen? Y'all think y'all strong? Let's see how strong you are. He's shaking his head like, I ain't going that route. You are. You are. See, the thing about God is he's wise. Go with me to James, first chapter, and I want to show her something here. All right. This don't like it. Don't do nothing, does it? We're going to see. It might not work. Think it'll work? Y'all got it. You sure? You ain't going to let her pull that thing together. Come over here. I want you to grab this and I want you to pull hard. Hard as you can. You're in your wedges. You got golf shoes on? Hold on. Put your foot right there. All right, you ready? Pull hard. Just pull. There you go. Just keep pulling. Y'all don't let her pull them poles together now. Don't let her pull them poles together. Keep pulling. Don't let her pull them poles together. Little old bitty girl. Look. Look who's moving. Y'all give him a hand. She didn't have to strain. Buddy, they were laid into it that last time. You see them, it was like that pole bending. It was like, we're not going to, but they couldn't stop it. All because I gave her the rope, right? No. It's all because knowing this, that the trying of your faith works. Why do you think problems come into your life? Do you think they come to hurt you or they come to prove something you don't know? To prove something you don't know yet. You won't know God's healing until He's healed you. That's why when somebody, when I talk about healing and I look at you and you look at me like, he's just preaching stuff now. No, I've been healed numerous times. The guys pick at me here because I don't wash my hands most of the time. I just grab something, eat it, start going. And some of y'all walk around with sanitizer in your back pocket and this and that. I'm like, it dies when it touches me. As soon as it touches my hand, it dies. It can't enter into my body unless God allows it. Now, don't get me wrong. Every now and then He'd give me a cold to let me know how y'all live sometimes. He does. But I don't live sick. I'm never going to live sick. For a lot, you may be careful. The devil's going to throw something. Well, that's fine. I got rope. He can lay against it. He can wedge himself. He can try to be as strong as he wants. But I got the rope. And it's not my strength that's going to do it. I've done proved in my strength. If I say, I'm just not going to get sick, it don't work. I'm not looking at you saying, I just determined in my mind I'm not getting sick. That won't work. But I do have scriptures. And when I start to feel bad, I just start walking around and I declare them. You know what my medicine is for everything? If you know me, you know this. Wendy's chili. I figure whatever enters my system, it's got to come out, and that's the best way to get it on out. I just decide, you know what? Time to go eat some Wendy's chili. Why? Because I don't feel good, something ain't right, and then need to go ahead and get fixed. Next day, boop. Now, do you think the Wendy's chili, I'm not giving a promotion. You think Wendy's chili's doing it? No. But what it is, I'm just saying, you know what? Whatever's in me is coming out. I'm through with this. I am not dealing with this. I ain't going to lay in the bed. You want something to eat? Oh, I can't eat nothing. Oh, no, I'm going to eat. Because I got the rope. In our lives, if we're not careful, we run into problems. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. But let patience have her. Don't bail. Don't quit on God. You say, well, we're not supposed to take headache medicine. I don't care what you take. You can take whatever you want, whatever you feel like God wants you to. I have people that take all types of medication. And my dad's a diabetic. I'm not talking about it. I'm saying you have to work it out. You have to determine it. I can't tell you what to stand on, what not to stand on. That has to come from your reading. That has to come from your understanding. And you have to read it and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to decide what the enemy can have and can't have. I've seen people that's been delivered of total depression medicine and everything. I've seen people healed of cancer. I've seen all of it. But I've seen good people stay on medicine for the rest of their life and be just as happy. It's not one better than the other. You have to decide. But I'm just telling you what God said. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. It means, what that means is when the devil comes up with a new strategy, you already know, I got this. I can handle this. Bro, what if the doctor said you had cancer tomorrow? Then I know two things. I know either God's got to heal it or God's calling me home. One or the other. I know I'm not supposed to spend the next many, many years of my life struggling through something that doesn't belong to me. What if you got kids that are, then I'm going to pray for them and I'm giving them to God and I know this much, God's going to take care of that, however God needs to take care of that. But I'm not going to sit there every day and worry about every time the phone rings. I'm not going to sit there and beat myself up. I'm going to let that patience work and make me imperfect and entire, wanting how much? Wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We have the Word of God. Every answer to every problem is there. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think he shall receive how much? Anything from God. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to tell you, you can limit God. You can limit your life. It's not my words. It's God's words. Don't say what I believe is going to affect God. It does affect God. Don't say God's just going to do whatever God wants to do. That's not scriptural. The Bible says in Hebrews is that God is a rewarder of faith. How can you be a rewarder of something when you don't do anything extra than you want to? Rewards means I've earned extra. For those that come to Him must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that seek Him. I don't know where you are in your life today. Maybe you feel like you've got both sides of a pole and you can't pull it together and you're pulling with everything you can. Can I tell you something? God says, take the limits off of me. Quit limiting me. Some young person in here, you want to grow up one day and marry the right person and you want to meet the right person. Quit limiting God. Quit trying to accept any old thing that comes along, thinking you got to grasp at it and grab at it and just accept whatever comes into your life. Let me tell you something, young lady. God's already got your life planned, and it's precious and it's powerful. You don't have to sell it short to no person. Young man, it works the same for you. God's got you go ahead and push for your destiny. Don't get caught up in some little girl or something. You go ahead and push to your destiny, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen with girls. The girls, the men they like the best, and you want a better girl, the best girls go after the guys that want to go somewhere. They don't go after the wimps. They don't go after people that just want to hang around them. They go after real men. They like that. They'll act like they don't, but let me tell you something, they do. You want that job, you want that marriage, you want that. Quit putting limits on God. Quit saying about your marriage, well, maybe we just weren't meant to be together. That which God hath joined together. Don't let nobody say it's supposed to be torn apart. I can go from subject to subject to subject in your life. And it always is the same. It's a rope. To help bring together what couldn't be brought together any other way. And I don't know what yours is. I don't know if it's a kid. I don't know if it's your marriage. I don't know if it's your future. I don't know what it is in your life. I just know this. That if you'll take the limits off of God, quit making Him like you, and find His Word on it and stand on it, I'll promise you He'll show up in a way that's going to prove to you and perfect you in patience. And teach you how awesome He is. Will you stand? I don't need you to come to an altar today. I just need you to decide. You may be just happy with your life. And that's great. But maybe I'm talking to someone today who's, Brother Lott, there's things I want to see. There's things I want to see. You're telling me that God can do it? Because what I'm asking for is not a bad thing. It's a God thing. You're telling me God wants to help me? You're not mad at me. I mean, I've done some bad stuff in my past, and probably I'm one of those that feels like the building should fall down if I walk in. You're telling me, I'm telling you, His mercies are good. How do I know? Because God is not a man that lies. He's not me. Sometimes I may say things and it comes out wrong. Maybe I said it and didn't mean it the way I said it, but God's never made one promise and came back later and said, oh, let me change that because it didn't come out the way I wanted it to. He's not a man that he lies. He gives us something and says, it won't fail. And it'll take some effort. You still have to pull on the rope. But you'll be able to do with it what you couldn't do without it. You'll overcome the enemy. If you're in this place right now, with every eye closed, maybe you're a young person that wants a future. Maybe you're someone that feels like I've wasted so much of my life. Maybe you're somebody that wants to see a child saved. Or I don't know what yours is. But I know God right now is speaking to you through the Spirit. And He's saying, if you cast that on me and let it go, let me have it. Just like the children of Israel, if they had just decided, God, it's not our battle. We're going into that land with giants and we're going into that land with walled cities. And you know what? Greater is He that's with us than He that's against us. They could have walked into those cities. If you're here right now, here's what I want you to do. If you say, Pastor, I've got places. I need Him. I need that rope in my life. I need Him to pull it together. I know I have to do it by faith, but I need Him. And I'm letting Him have this. And I got word on this. I know He wants to do this. I want you to take your hands and all the eyes are closed and raise them toward Him. Say, God, here it is. I want you to just imagine giving it to Him. You don't have to come to an altar to do that. You can do that right where you're sitting. Give them that future. God, I don't know where I'm supposed to be, but I know if I'm in your hands, it's going to be good. Give them that future mate, that young person that you say, I want to meet Mr. Wright or Miss Wright. I want you to be able to raise it up and say, God, I give you me. I'm going to keep myself and I'm going to live the way I'm supposed to until you bring that person. I don't know when and where and how, but I know I'm leaving it in your hands. Maybe it's a job and you say, God, I've worked so hard and nothing seems to open, but God, I'm giving you my job and I'm giving you my life and I'm going to be faithful. And Lord, you open doors that nobody else can open. Give it to Him. And when you give it to Him, I'm going to ask you in a second to lower those hands. And I'm going to ask you to do something really brave. Don't take it back. Don't take it back home with you. Don't try to, in your own strength, figure it out tomorrow. Just decide that I'm giving it to Him now. And I know I got to pull on the rope. I know I got to do my faith. I got to live my life in faith. I got to brag on Him even though I don't see it. I got to declare what's not even there like it already is. But God, I don't want it back. I don't want my kid back. I love them and whatever I can do to be a part of it, but God, that's yours. I love my wife, my husband, but God, they're you. They're yours. I can't fix this. I'm not strong enough. I'll do my part. I'll pull. But God, you got to be the rope. Father, every one of us in here right now, what we hold up, we declare in the name of Jesus that it's already done. I declare in the name of Jesus that every answer to every need, to every problem, to every situation, to every circumstance, to every doctor's opinion, God, I come against it by the Word of God. I come against it by Your authority and Your power. And I declare that they will be saved. I declare it will be restored. I declare it will be removed. I declare that the healing is arriving right now. In the name of Jesus. On the count of three, we're going to lower our hands. But we're not going to hold it anymore. One, two, three. Look at the person beside you and say, it's not mine anymore. Go ahead and smile and say, I may have to do some pulling. And tell him he's the rope. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Hope you have spent some good time with your family. Oh, and if you get a chance, give the devil fits.